He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday. It is a new week. It is a Fed week. What does that mean? We get the Fed decision on Wednesday. And, of course, the market lately has been uber-focused on the Fed and every word that they say. And I got a hunch that the market will kind of meander a bit until we get that announcement from the Fed on Wednesday. So far, we've got the Dow down 52 points at 34,566. The S&P is down 3 at 4,447. The NASDAQ is about flat right now. It's down 2 points, 13,700. Looking for direction would be the watch phrase of the day. The Russell 2000 down 40 basis points. Crude oil up again. You know, that's, we're going to talk about that because that's a key driver of the markets right now. Crude is up $1.17 to $91.94. Gold is up $3 to $19.49. Silver is up 39 cents to $23.42. And the other bugaboo, the 10-year, it's at 4.33 again, 4.33. Now that's bumping up against its high for the year, and that's another factor going against the market right now. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. I guess we're on the lookout for a missing F-35 here in this neck of the woods. I haven't seen it. But if anybody's seen it, the pilot ejected, and I guess they're searching for it. So I'll have my eye out today. I've seen them fly over many times. They are awesome, but one missing in this neck of the woods. Okay, well, we finished up the week last week on a pretty sour note, really. And there's two major factors here that are driving the market currently. Now, we've had a very good year so far. The NASDAQ's up over 20%. The S&P has had a very good year. The Dow has had a very good year. The only laggards, the small caps have lagged quite a bit. Small caps are only up 3% this year. It's been a market that has been focused on large and mega cap stocks. That's been the sweet spot in the market this year. But over the last couple of weeks now, we've leveled off. There's several reasons for that. One, in between earnings season, you normally get a pause in the markets. Yeah, you know, there's really not any news. There's really not any catalyst. There's nothing exciting happening in the market. There's no big earnings releases, etc. So we're going to have to deal with that for a couple, another 4 weeks or so. But the bigger factor has been this sudden rise in oil. It's at almost $92 per barrel. Okay, well, what's oil have to do with the big tech stocks? Well, I can tell you where that relationship is. We've got oil rising. That has two profound impacts. One, on the economy. And it's already starting to show up. Obviously, consumers have less money in their pockets right now. So it's not good for the economy. We're hoping for a soft landing, which means no damage to the economy done, or not putting us into a recession by all the draconian rate hikes that we had last year from the Fed. And number two, believe it or not, oil, the rise in oil is causing interest rates to rise. And you say, well, why would that be? Because it's inflationary. It's a big factor in the inflation equation. And you've seen the 10-year. We got down to 4.09 recently. Looked like we were going to go under 4. And then seemingly out of nowhere came this sudden rise in oil. I didn't think that the cut by Saudi Arabia would have this kind of an impact. I think there's some other forces at work here. But it's had a tremendous impact. Oil prices have gone up considerably. And now we sit at $92 per barrel. Well, that's inflationary. And what happens if, it starts to show up? It already did in this most recent PPI and CPI. But what if it continues to get worse? Well, then you've got the Fed back in action, right? Raising interest rates to keep inflation under control. So the rise in oil is bad two ways, once again. It's bad for the economy. It's bad for inflation. It's causing interest rates to move higher. Cause and effect. What happens when interest rates move higher? The multiples contract in the market. The higher the PE, the bigger the contraction. So it's showing up first in the high PE stocks. It's showing up in the high tech stocks. I look at ARK funds today. ARK is down 1.6%. Her fund is a pretty good indicator. In fact, it moves a lot more quickly than other funds because of probably one of the most highest PE ETFs out there in the entire market. So we can see that high PE space is getting whacked right now, down 1.4% again today. And it's obviously causing a contraction in the tech stocks. Although today not as bad as it has been over the last several days. And I think the reason why that is, if you look at the charts, which I showed, I spent a lot of time on the article that I wrote in my newsletter on Friday and Saturday. If you didn't get that, I updated my macro outlook for the NASDAQ going well into next year. You can get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. But I showed two charts along with some others. One of the charts was the chart of oil prices. Oil is bumping up against some very severe resistance right now. That doesn't mean that it cannot go higher. But if you look at a chart of oil, oil is bumping up against some very, very severe resistance. Does that mean it's going to halt here at $92 per barrel? Well, I don't know, but there is severe technical resistance. And from a logical point of view, we're not exactly in peak driving season anymore. You would think that demand for oil would be letting up a little bit. So I'm hoping that we're going to see a top in oil real soon here. That would be very beneficial to the market, stock market, equities market, because it would stop that contraction of the PE multiple. Secondly, interest rates are hitting stiff resistance. This 4.33, 4.34 area has been the extreme high, the max, the limit, the resistance level. Every time we've hit that, we've backed off of that. So I'm counting on oil prices to start easing up, and I'm counting on interest rates to start heading lower. And then we can go back to focusing on earnings as opposed to the multiple, okay? The multiple we can't control. Companies can't control that multiple too much, but companies can do a lot about the earnings that they report. And as of right now, we're expecting record earnings next year in 2024. Now, obviously, that changes week by week. It's held pretty steady now for the last several months. We haven't had much change at all to the earnings forecast for not only next year but the year after that. And that's what the market is trading off of right now, is trading off of those forecasts. So that's kind of the dynamics at work here right now in the markets. I think the two most critical things to watch right now are interest rates and oil prices. We need both of those to start relaxing a little bit, start coming back, and then we can start getting some constructive action upwards again in the equities markets. I don't think they've exhausted themselves. I don't think it's over. The earnings would suggest that they can go higher. Now we got to focus on the multiple, however. Okay, we got Barry is off, I think, today and tomorrow. I took a couple of days off last week, had a little bit of a cold, feeling like a raging bull here. However, today, can't wait to get in back into the charts here this morning. We've had some weakness in the high PE stocks, the tech stocks. Apple didn't help. Their big day was pretty much a flop. But I am hearing today that sales of the 15 are off to a good start. Well, okay, that's better than nothing. And Apple is up a little bit. But what happened to the innovation at Apple? I haven't seen much lately. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, guess what? The crude oil markets have started to back off a little. I said 92 was, that's on West Texas Intermediate crude. None of that Brent stuff. We're for Texas here in the U.S. We've got crude backing off a little bit. It's at 91.65. It almost hit 92. So I'm just hoping that someone somewhere right around in here is maybe the top in this current run higher in oil, which has carried interest rates with it. The 10-year's at 4.34. That's the old high, too. So we're hoping that interest rates back off from here also. Now we got to worry about the Fed. You know what? My worry list every day, there's always several things on my worry list. But you just keep pressing forward, and you'd be hard-pressed to find someone who thinks the Fed will hike interest rates this week. So what's the deal? Why is the market so nervous? Well, are they going to keep the door open for another hike later this year? Of course they are, which the dot plot will continue to reflect, says Deutsche Bank's Jim Reed. Our economists believe other parts of the SEP are likely to undergo meaningful revisions, particularly for 2023. So, yeah, they're definitely going to keep the door open for another rate hike, but they're definitely not going to hike this week. So all eyes on the Fed. Wednesday they will make their announcement, and then they, you know, they do their little dog and pony show and all that. We'll see what happens. A lot hangs on that. California sues big oil companies claiming decades of deception on climate harm. The state of California has sued five major oil companies, Exxon, Shell, Conoco, Chevron, and BP, claiming that their actions have caused billions of dollars in damage and deceived the public by downplaying the risks posed by fossil fuels, the New York Times reported on Saturday. California is seeking the creation of an abatement fund to pay for future damages caused by climate-related disasters in the state, detailing the growing damage purportedly inflicted on California by climate change. The complaint says oil and gas company executives have known for decades that reliance on fossil fuels would cause these catastrophic results, but they suppress that information from the public and policymakers by actively pushing out disinformation on the public. Okay, so there's where California stands on fossil fuels. Tesla is reportedly in early talks with another country for a gigafactory. Who could it be this time? Saudi Arabia. Well, you know what? Tesla had pretty good news last week. You know, the beneficiary, obviously, of this big strike by the United Auto Workers, one of the beneficiaries is Tesla. The other are the Japanese automakers who had a big week last week. Tesla is down 2.9% right now, but they are reportedly in early talks with Saudi Arabia on an here's the big producer of the world of oil behind the U.S., talking about an electric vehicle factory. Neither Tesla or Saudi officials have confirmed the reports, but it seems like they're heading in that direction. And of course, he's got gigafactories. You know, he's putting them up. And Turkey says, hey, what about us? Erdogan calls on Elon Musk to build a Tesla factory in Turkey. Well, I don't see him calling on Ford or GM to build a factory. They're calling on Elon Musk and Tesla. What about the strike? White House team to reach Detroit this week. The Stellantis offer rejected. United Auto Workers strike against Detroit's big three automakers has entered its fourth day, garnering support from the White House and Democratic politicians, although negotiations remain deadlocked. So anyways, there's a team headed there from the White House to try to help mediate contract talks. The team is led by White House advisor Gene Sperling and acting labor secretary Julie Hsu. As the strike continues on, the company's offers are about half of the 40% wage hike. This is what the UAW wants, a 40% wage hike that workers are demanding through 2027. And then there were also, protection against inflation. Hey, I wish I could get that. Well, the market, inflation caused the market to go down last year. I should be compensated for that. Well, you know what? It's kind of maddening. It's a mad, mad world we live in right now. Apple rises as Wall Street says iPhone 15 Pro is strong out of the gates. Have you gone running out to get an iPhone 15? I'm hearing basically it's the same as the iPhone 11, the iPhone 12, the iPhone 13, the iPhone 14, but it's new. It's got titanium on it, so, you know, you don't get all those scratches and cracks in it when you drop it, and a few other bells and whistles, and it's going to not be as bad for the planet. Same price as the old one, but, hey, Apple's up a little bit today. Let's just check in. Apple had a rough week, had a rough couple of weeks, actually. Apple's at up 1.3% today. Rivian expects positive margin trend to continue. Well, you would think Rivian would also be a beneficiary of the UAW strike, and it is. It's headed in the right direction. It's up over the last couple weeks. It's at $24 per share. Will Rivian ever be profitable? How many Rivians do you see on the road? Are you going to run out and buy a Rivian truck? Their sales have gone from $536 million per quarter to $1.1 billion per quarter. That's pretty good growth. But will they ever turn a profit? That's the big question for Rivian. It took a long time for Tesla to finally turn a profit. Rivian is one of those long-duration stocks, okay, in a rising interest rate environment. Long-duration stocks, and it's not only is it a long-duration stock, will it ever reach profitability duration stock? Joby Aviation, okay, this is the one that seems to be the leader if we get to the robo-taxis, the flying taxis, rather. Joby Aviation picks Dayton, Ohio for its first scaled manufacturing facility with the support of Toyota. So there you go. Dayton, Ohio announced plans. They're going to locate their first scaled aircraft production facility there, the birthplace of aviation. The city is also home to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base and headquarters of the U.S. Air Force Research Laboratory, which has played a key role in supporting Joby's development. Well, I would say this. If you want to invest in robo-taxis or in flying taxis, Joby Aviation, probably the leader, the early leader in that space. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. In a meandering day for the market as it awaits the Fed on Wednesday, we have oil at close to $92 per barrel. We need to get that to start backing off. And we've got the 10-year at 4.34. That's kind of the hype for the year. We need that to start backing off so that we can get the multiple, which has been under some contraction here recently, back on track. I want to go back to that Joby Aviation because this is a big position and one that Kathy Wood at ARK Funds continues to gobble up. It seems to me that the logistics of it all. Okay, Joby's production aircraft. So this is what they're doing. They've chosen a place, an area of the country where they can produce these things. It's designed to transport a pilot and 4 passengers at speeds of up to 200 miles per hour. So obviously the pilot, you know, has to be a trained pilot. You know, they're not going to just hand you the keys at Hertz to a Joby aircraft and let you take off. You got to have a pilot. And 4 passengers is the max. A maximum range of 100 miles. Well, then you've got the whole logistics of how long does it take to charge it up again so it can go another 100 miles. Or do you just change out the battery packs? I don't know. But it's quiet. You can hardly hear it against the backdrop of the city. I just think there's a lot of hurdles here. Talk about a long duration stock. This is the poster child of a long duration stock that someday in the future may be a reality and may be a profitable business. And these things are buzzing all over the place. But for now, you know, it's pretty much an idea. Clorox falls after disclosing a significant IT breach that will impact earnings results. You know, every week it would seem there's one or two companies that are picked on. I read that MGM Grand paid a ton of ransom money to get their systems back up and running by these hackers, which are usually out of Russia. Clorox got hit. They disclosed that this morning. They took immediate steps to remediate the activity. But they are also saying that it's going to impact their earnings. Okay? So there's a new one, companies warning and whatnot. It will impact their earnings. It costs a lot of money to get things back up and running again. So anyways, there's your latest victim. Gambling in Chicago. Bally's downtown Chicago casino project is off and running. The long wait for a casino complex in downtown Chicago has ended after Bally's Corporation opened up its temporary casino at the historic Medina Temple, which I believe was a Masonic temple. The project saw years of political fighting before Bally's made it to the finish line. But now it sets up the casino operator to cash in when the final casino complex is finished. There's 750 slot machines and table games, 3 restaurants, including the Medina Bistro and Kitchen 888, and a sports betting area. So, anyways, gambling in Chicago is now a reality as they move into their temporary space. Got some IPOs coming. How have IPOs done? Well, you know, I have never been a real fan of IPOs. The reason being is they come out at very high prices. And here's a list of the 10 largest IPOs since 2021. That's when they were really going gangbusters, back in 2020. This is without the SPACs, okay? Snowflake is down 14% since it came public. DoorDash down 25%. Robinhood down 43%. UiPath down 43%. AppLovin down 16%. Toast down 43%. That's not a very good record. Now, if you can get in on an IPO on day one, you know, and have some shares allocated to you and get out of it on day one or day two, then, you know, it makes sense. But generally speaking, IPOs are not a good investment at all because they come public at extremely high multiples. Instacart will be coming public here soon. We had Arm Holdings last week. And we've got another one that's been pretty highly anticipated here, Klaviyo, a marketing automation company. More IPOs, which, you know, at least the market is better, and there is some IPO money out there. And companies which, you know, stood on the sidelines basically last year from taking their companies public are back in action again. But for the most part, IPOs have had a pretty lousy track record from their start price and then going forward. Biden's climate goals in jeopardy as offshore wind projects flounder. I was reading about how much the price has gone up to build these wind farms, mostly in the Northeast Atlantic states. These are multi-billion dollar projects. I mean, think about it, putting these poles with these propellers on them in the ocean, and the cost for the parts, the cost, the supply chain, it's just all not good right now, and could push the role. There's a cost to decarbonizing. There's a massive cost for decarbonizing, and there's massive risk, obviously, to decarbonizing. Bank of America initiates coverage on Accelus. That's one that we own, ACLS. That's a chip company. It's in the semiconductor business. The chip stocks kind of took it on the chin last week a little bit. That's because they have some pretty high multiples. And high multiples get hit in a shrinking or in a rising interest rate environment, which we've had basically since oil prices have been going up. So that's why I say we need to get oil prices to stabilize, start moving down. You know, I'm sure that the Biden administration and the campaign committee and all of this, that's one of the things that people feel the most. You remember all of the anger and hard feelings when the oil went up the first time after Biden was first elected. Now we're coming up, obviously, on an election next year. I don't think these rising oil prices, I know gasoline was $5.53 in Los Angeles over the weekend, about $3.50 here in South Carolina, but that's not good for a president's ratings. Rising prices at the pump, that's what people feel the most and notice the most. Okay, now on the earnings front, earnings season will be upon us once again in about 3 to 4 weeks from now. Okay. Right now, we're looking at a slight increase in earnings for the third quarter of 2023 versus the same comparable quarter last year. And in fact, the starting number for the quarter that ended, or that will end in 2 weeks, is let's see, I think it's $56.10. Okay, that right now is the line, $56.10. And this compares with $55.65 last year. So that would be an increase of 45 cents or 0.2%. This would be the first quarter of growth that we've had since Q3 2022. But obviously, as the companies report, as the companies guide, as the companies warn, as the companies say, hey, we're going to do even better than expected, this changes week by week. And we'll be watching this number, $56.10. If you multiply that by four, we're running at about $225 per year in earnings, which are record earnings for the S&P 500. We'll be right back. Take a little dive underneath the surface of the market.
On call, hit us in a bad bleed, and I wonder what it's good for.
Welcome back here to the second or the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show on this Fed week, where we will get the Fed decision. Oh, we look forward to that every single Fed meeting. And they have been a big factor in determining the direction of the market, whether you like it or not. They have more clout than anybody out there. And they will use their megaphone on Wednesday to help move interest rates to where they want them. They're currently sitting at 4.34 on the 10-year. That's pretty much the high for the year. And there's been a correlation, in my opinion, between the rising interest rates and rising oil prices, because oil prices are inflationary. And when the market sees inflation, interest rates go up, because they fear the Fed that they will do another rate hike. Not this time around, but at their next meeting. All right, so the market pretty much does not have a lot of direction. The leadership in the market is very narrow, if there is any today. I'm going to call the refiners. There's a big spread right now, the crack spread. That's another chart that I watch few times per week. And that spread in between means there's room to make a little bit of money for the refiners, which is a pretty low margin business, but a very important business for the U.S. economy and for the world economy. So you've got several of those refiner stocks, Sinclair, the symbol is Dino, you know, the one with the dinosaur symbol on their gas stations. They also have refineries. Dino, that's a good chart. It is up 2.9% today. Valero is another big winner there. These are the leading stocks in the market today, which shows there's not a whole lot of leadership. Valero is up 2.3% today. It's bumping up against resistance here. Now, that goes along with my thesis that this oil, that this rise in oil, that this rise in gasoline prices is about played out. Just from a technical point of view, looking at all of these stocks and looking at a chart of unleaded gas, looking at a chart of oil, it seems to me that they're running into some pretty severe resistance. That doesn't mean they can't crack through that resistance. But I think, given the time of year we're in and all this and that, I think there's a reason for oil prices to start falling, which would be healthy for the stock market. Those are your leaders today, along with some of these oil and gas equipment stocks like FTI. Now, earlier this year, it was the AI stocks that had the relative strength numbers of 98 and 99. Right now, it's companies like Technic FMC. What do? Design, manufacture, service systems for land and offshore exploration and production of oil and gas. These are the AI. They're performing like the AI stocks right now. FTI has a relative strength of 98 right now on a scale of 1 to 99. Over at the Dow, the two leaders, despite being sued by California, ExxonMobil. Well, you know, I was just thinking about that. They want California to, the oil companies, to set aside this big, large fund. And any time California gets hit with anything, a flood, an earthquake, anything, they want the oil companies to pay for the cleanup, which a little bit on the extreme side, but then again, it's California. ExxonMobil is the leader in the Dow today. It's up 1.1%. I have Exxon with 69% upside potential right now. The oil stocks, you know, the Chevrons, the Exxon, the BPs, they've come a long ways. There's not a lot of value there right now unless oil, you know, goes to 100 and above. They're kind of priced right now. They've priced in that $90 oil. Chevron, I have 80% upside potential, a little better. Chevron is up about 1% today, another leader in the Dow. And then the other leader in the Dow today is Apple. And that's on some early news, some early returns on their iPhone 15 sales. On the downside, Pfizer is getting hit today. I got to believe that that's probably on a slow start to the their latest booster. And the other one that's getting hit is Moderna over at the S&P 500. It's down 7.6% today. I haven't read the news, but I'm just assuming that, you know, they recently got their okay for their latest booster. I'm just assuming that there's not a bunch of people. There's about as many people running out to get a booster as they are to get an i15 iPhone, number 15 iPhone. Over at the NASDAQ, not much going on there. The leadership, a little bit in the semiconductor equipment makers. Lam is up 1.3, Applied Materials up 1.2, Apple up 1.1. On the downside, Tesla in the NASDAQ, one of the worst performers. It is the worst performer, down 3.2%, despite the fact that the rumor is they're looking at a gigafactory in Saudi Arabia. Maybe they're denying that since the story came out. I don't know. I haven't updated it. And Erdogan over in Turkey says you can build a gigafactory here. But Tesla is down 3.2% today. And you'd think Tesla would be benefiting from the UAW strike, but it is down today. Okay, well, we put a lot of work into the newsletter last week. A big article on the different factors that play in the market, and a forecast well into next year for the NASDAQ. Back on January 6th of this year, we put out an article with a very bold statement saying the NASDAQ has bottomed. We were pretty much within a week or two, a few weeks of that occurrence, and we went all in. We've been all in, but what about now? Now we've got rising interest rates once again, rising oil prices, a shrinking multiple, and stocks that are not as cheap as they were at the beginning of the year. Well, you can read my article in my newsletter by getting 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. And if you'd like to talk to us and set up an appointment about a plan or money management, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.